January's missionary month. When I came home, I had known this was Eddie McCulley's home assembly, and I had read both of the books. But when he came home, January was the most natural choice to speak missionary messages because of the annual reminder of the death of the five men. And so I have a missionary message this morning, at least one a year. Sometimes I go over the same thing. One of my goals when I came home was to interest and help young people have a burden to go to the mission field and help them understand what was involved, to spend time with them, to talk to them about things that could happen. When I went out to the mission field, I was adequately prepared. But one thing I was not prepared for were some of the personal struggles you have. I read many, many missionary biographies. And I was always looking for something in these biographies that talked about the missionaries and their struggles and their inner life. And I was surprised that there was so little evidence, so little, few things written. The life of Hudson Taylor is an incredible life to read about. But when those books were written, the early years and latter years, the family purposely kept some things guarded. They would not release some things because these things were much of the human side of Hudson Taylor. In the late 80s, they released some information, and Elizabeth Elliot wrote a book. The things that were in there showed more of Hudson Taylor's human side, and none of it was surprising. Missionaries go out, they're human beings. None of it was surprising. And it was a good book, by the way. I can't find it. I have this feeling in the back of my mind. I loaned it to someone. If you happen to have it on your shelf, don't give it back to me in person because I might throw you on the ground. And just put it on my desk, wipe your fingerprints off, and split. It's a good book. And I like to address the problems of missionaries, discuss the human side, as I said, to encourage young people, to warn them about some of the difficulties that they might have personally in work. When Sonia and Jeremy lived with us, poor Sonia and Jeremy lived in very close quarters. We spent a lot of time together. And this is one of the things I talked about. I'm only a small link in the chain of all the events that have taken place in their lives. But it was good to sit down and talk to them about the things they might discover themselves. When I went to the mission field, I was desperate to find something, somewhere, where I could see that these missionaries were like me, dragging them down to my level, unfortunately. I could get discouraged. They could become depressed. They could feel like giving up. They had a hard time with language. They had a hard time with being away from home. And I wanted to see missionary lives in their totality. Eventually, I found some things, but more modern. Judson, the first missionary sent out from the colonies, first missionary sent out from America, did an outstanding job. But the new writings have pointed out that Judson went through discouragement after his wife died, and at one time tried to jump off a bridge and kill himself. And then, later on, he went out, away from the base camp, built a little cruddy hut, dug a grave, and sat there hoping to die and fall in the grave. And he did an outstanding job. So, these are the things I wanted to know. And I think that young people want to know some things. One of our goals of STEP, I've said before, was to light a little spark in the hearts of these young people, hoping that some would get the burden and begin to see the possibilities that God could call them and use them. So, this has been one of my burdens. The death of the five missionary martyrs of Dew tribes in the jungles of Bolivia during the Second World War wasn't publicized much because there's a war going on. Who cares? The death of the five missionaries in Ecuador are not the only martyrs, of course. But it seemed that their lives made a big impact. But they're not the last to die. The deaths of missionaries are increasing. And it's really interesting. When the last 2 weeks, now I hope you'll forgive if I misinterpret how to pronounce this country. I do it phonetically. I haven't heard it on the news, so I'm just going phonetically. 7 people were killed in a place called Burkina Faso. 7 missionaries were killed. One of them, a short-term missionary, who was on her way home. She had her suitcase with her. And apparently, in this town, this place, there's a number one coffee shop. Not with watered-down American coffee, but good coffee. Tinto. Espresso. They stopped for one last cup of coffee, and she was one of the 7 killed. At the same time, 2 missionaries were captured by Al-Qaeda, I think that's how you pronounce it, in another part of Africa. A missionary doctor and his wife from Australia, who went out in the 70s, were kidnapped. He's the only surgeon in the area. And they've been kidnapped. I've seen pictures of them, and they're not young bucks anymore. I've been working hard from the 70s. Another missionary at the same time, more or less, in Mali, near the famous city of Timbuktu, a Swiss missionary was abducted for the 2nd time. All of that is for the purpose of ransom, to support the movement. In the killing of the hostages in the first city missionary, 100 hostages were taken. No, they're not a Christian, of course, but 100 were taken. All identified with the West, all identified with Christianity, whether they were Christian or not. And it will continue to go on. I want to share a couple of things before I get more into this message, and I want you to understand how I'm saying it. whenever there's terrorist activities, Muslim terrorist activities, and I turn on any of the cable news networks, first thing I have to hear is somebody telling me that all Muslims are not evil. Well, of course they're not. We're not dumb. But I have to hear that all the time. And I'm getting a little tired of it. No, we don't think they're all evil. But we know very well there's an extreme element. And it's growing. And they're coming to our country. During Thomas Jefferson's administration, the northern part of Africa, called the Barbary Coast, was kidnapping American commercial vessels. Not British, not others, but American. And America at that time had very little influence. Everybody thought they were an upstart that would fall apart. And they were kidnapping them, making them slaves, asking for huge amounts of money. Thomas Jefferson, in one sense, was a pacifist. He didn't want war, and he knew that this new country didn't want war. But he sat down, brought to Congress the need for a navy, and they need to go in and kill him. Wipe him out if you have to. And maybe you've read about this forgotten war, the Pirates of the Barbary Coast. Well, they defeated them. The Marine songs from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. Tripoli was the country that was causing the most problems. After that, commerce was open. But they've always been looking for finances. Now, I know, I've studied the Crusades. I had to present it in my class at the Institute. And I know that the Christian nations that went were wrong and cruel. And that absurd things were done. But at the same time, I'm a little weary from running into people who keep telling me that they're just paying us back for the Crusades. Study the other side of the Crusades, and you'll find out some interesting things. Constantine's mother, Helena, made many trips to Jerusalem. She was, in one sense, the first Christian archaeologist, bringing back relics and doing things. After the Muslims took over, there were still many Christians going. There had been tourism and such, going to visit. They started charging them to come into the city. Then they started charging them exorbitant prices for food. Then they locked them outside of the city and watched them starve to death and took many as slaves. Making it difficult for these people. There are two sides of every story. I also know a wee bit. But when the Ottoman Empire started deteriorating, there was anger against the West. I know that when Christians went out on the Crusades to bring back the Holy Land to the church, they did a lot of damage. On the way, as they marched to Jerusalem, they raided villages killing Jews. They even, as they entered some areas were the Eastern Orthodox Church that would not submit to Rome. They even killed some of those people. It was not a pretty thing at all. And you and I know it was done to rally the church for money to build a new headquarters in the Vatican. These are some of the things, but we are faced today with this, so martyrdom will not stop. Think of the Burnhams. Remember the Burnhams who died in the Philippines? If I get it correctly, and I'm getting slow now in my old age, the Filipinos who took them were Muslim insurgents. Wanting a huge amount of money. And there was a rescue attempt, and the husband got caught in a crossfire. Chet Bitterman in 1980 in Colombia, a year after I left, a missionary with Wycliffe, was kidnapped by rebels, communists, held in a bus, driven around, so it was hard to find him. And eventually, they drugged him so he would sleep, and they put a bullet in his head. Part of that was because secular anthropologists, not all of them, but secular anthropologists have been against Christian missionaries. An article had been written in the main paper in Colombia for Bogota, El Tiempo, paper I read every day. And this article written by an anthropologist really railed against missionaries. Within a week, that article appeared in newspapers in Egypt, Jordan, Syria, African nations within a week. And one missionary said, who's coordinating all of this? There's been a great attempt to stop the work of the spreading of missions. An anthropologist, cultural, secular anthropologist sometimes, and they're far better educated in that than I am, have not showed the kind of wisdom they should. They're worried about missionary changing the culture. And missionaries have made some dumb mistakes. Not understanding the culture. Missionaries have made some decisions that they didn't have to make regarding the people. I know that. I've read plenty. At the same time, once these tribes are pacified and come in contact with the world around them, they're going to be forced to change, whether it's through missionary and the gospel, through government or communism. When they see tools, metal tools, they want them. Maybe in a culture, sometimes tools are important in a culture as to who can have them and who can't, according to their status. But at the same time, they'll get a hold of them. It was surprising to me when I traveled the rivers of Colombia along the coast of Venezuela, the Orinoco River, how many Indians have motors for their canoe. There were even those who moved to Villavicencio where the orphanage was, who didn't want to be identified any longer as Indians. I remember meeting a man downtown in Via Vicentia when I was looking for transportation in the jungle. I was talking to him, and I said, "Oh, you're a Guajibo." "No, no, no, I'm Colombiano." "No, no, no, no." And quickly walked away. They will change eventually. What is happening today is really a tragedy, but it's going to keep going on. It won't stop. Sonia and Jeremy, I'm sure you know, they reported that they can hear shooting in the background downtown. American Embassy has told the missionaries to get out. All dependent North Americans out. Sonia and Jeremy have stated, has it been stubbornness? Has it been a lack of understanding? Most likely, they're in contact with the native Christians, the Christians, and the people. And they know some things about what's happening, and they'll know when to leave. A couple of months ago, maybe less, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal. I like to read it, not because of finances. They have a good news page, and they were talking about the problem in Burundi. And I've always had a suspicion that over the years, many of the problems in Africa that have taken place had not only to do with who wants power, but tribal rivalry. And this article talked about what was going on in Burundi, and at the end of the article said, the opposition sides are from two different tribes. Pray for Sonia and Jeremy, but I'm sure they know what's up. The American Embassy must give warnings, lest people are killed and captive, and then the government is attacked. Let me a little bit this morning with the time that's that we have left. Talk a little bit about foreign missions and who missionaries are, what their qualifications are, and what makes their ministry unique. When I speak of missions, of course, I am speaking of, in a technical sense, of evangelizing across cultures. And another way of thinking, another way of living, and another way of speaking. And our message is no good unless the people we're working with can understand it. And it takes time and effort to study, to understand. And I wondered sometimes what in the world I was doing there. Honestly. God gave me good partners. So I'm speaking in a cross-cultural sense, that we're dealing with a message that is announced the way the hearer hears it, not necessarily the way we give it. How is that person hearing the message we give? What is striking them? I'm going to go through the first part of our missionaries very simply. I'm going to go through this quickly. They are certainly people who are born again, who've experienced a life change because of faith in Christ. They know something of growth. They know something of victory. And Jesus Christ has become a vital part of their daily living, their growth and trust. That should be all of us. They see other people need salvation. They know that the gospel is for the whole world. These are generally people who submit to the claims of Christ in their lives, that He wants our lives wherever we are, whatever we do, is that people will submit to this. And also people will know that God so loved the world, that the whole world is under sin. That again is a big area of discussion. That Christ came into the world to die for sinners, and that the gospel is for the whole world. Because everyone is a sinner. And that the gospel is the power of God to salvation. And that is something the missionary holds and believes. One other thing. He believes the world, or she believes the world, is going through a spiritual battle. And above all, the gospel is the answer to man's need. Some of you had more radical conversions. I did. And while I did not understand much, I knew very clearly that I was a different person from day one. Okay, what are the qualifications of missionary? You should go to college if you can. You should study missions. You should certainly study the Word of God, and the best place to study the Word of God, and I believe this very firmly, that going to a Bible school, even 2 years, as New Tribes has, and boy, is it so different from when I went, that you'll learn more Bible and more understanding of things in those 2 years than you will in your whole life studying alone. If you can go to college, go. Pick your right courses. You should know the Word of God, and you should know the Word of God well. Understand the Word of God. So that's one of them. Know the Word of God. Then you should study phonetics. Sonia and Jeremy were sent to 2 different schools. Remember? Great cost. But we sent them to one place where they studied phonetics and anthropology, cultural anthropology, and another place where they studied basic medical needs and treatment. Kind of frightening when you're in the Indian village and somebody is out cutting some weeds, missed the weeds and gashed his leg. And they come to you and they want you to do something. Beam me up, Scotty. Okay. Knowing some things are important. They must know then. And here's the thing that's important, that God can use me. That He can work in my life like He lived in me. And by the work of the Holy Spirit, He enabled me. And He gives me spiritual gifts and understanding. And we believe that the Holy Spirit can do surprising things in our life, even though at home we may not have experienced all of that. Another thing they must possess is love. Now, not this sentimental stuff we have, showing pictures of pain, showing pictures of poverty, showing pictures of hunger. Those are good in their place. But that is not what should motivate a missionary. Missionaries who go out because of sentimentality. Might not be able to hold up under pressure. See, those same people that your heart breaks for would just as soon steal your Jeep, steal your tape deck. Dick and I were in a Bible study in what we would call squatter community. We were in contact with people. You know, if a Bible study came back, all four tires on my Jeep were flat. Not only did they let the air out, but they took the pins. Threw them away. Fortunately, I had some hidden. We got smart. But I didn't have a pump. And a truck came by, and the trucker had some compassion. He had a pump that connected to battery, and we went home. When we went the next week, we were prepared. And we took everything out of the Jeep we could, and they never touched it. These are the people you're there to help. And they'll rip you off the steel, and they can lie. So, that's not a motive for missionaries. They must love. Here's something. Do they show genuine love for people at home? Let me ask a few questions, and this would help you. Do they put up with other people's failures? How do they do it? Impatience, criticism, judgment, gossip. How do they treat other people in disagreements? I can tell you something, folks. Missionaries can have some real slam, bang arguments and problems. When I moved to Bucaramanga to start fresh, I was scared to death. Lord, I need a partner. Dick and Nancy were on Bogota. They came in from New Zealand, and they were right in the middle of a huge mess among the missionaries. They asked if they could come down to the warm country where we lived for vacation. We said, sure. And when they came down, they said, can we work with you? And I said, can you get here now? You certainly can work with us. And they went back and packed their stuff and came to Bucaramanga. And what a blessing they were in my life. Another qualification for missionaries' attitude. This is where missionaries really fail. Feelings of superiority from our culture, education, having seen the world through different eyes, understanding more, this superiority can creep in and it can cause trouble. And it's interesting how the people pick it up. You may say something one moment, and all you're doing is making a general comparison. And then you look at their faces, and you realize they've taken it wrong. They think you're saying North Americans are superior, and perhaps, even if you didn't think that, that might have been something that was easily communicated. You must learn another culture. And that's the so-called advancement of our culture. That can be the standard by which we judge others. Can't do that when you go to the mission field. Missionary goes out to serve, not to be served. Our Lord said that. Not come to be served, but to serve. On our 2-year team in Bucaramanga, we had And I stay in touch with this man. Most remarkable young man. He learned Spanish so fluently in 2 years that the Colombian said, I can't tell the difference between him and Colombians. He was brilliant. He came home, became a writer, and written books, and he also was the co-author of one of Chuck Colson's books, Ghostwriter. And the last trip to Malaga, they were to leave Colombia in a few days. I had an old beat-up Jeep. The springs in the seats were bad. It had a metal top, but it had nothing else but metal. And if you hit a great big bump, boing, your head would hit the top. This guy was like 6'2". And on the way back from Malaga, I was talking to him about staying. And he said to me something that was really interesting. And said to me, how can you do this? Do what? How can you work with these people? They're so slow. They're so uneducated. It takes them so long. I can't do this. I've got to go home. This guy, wow, was he talented. I still know him. Stayed in touch with my human in his home a couple years ago in San Diego, and he barbecued a big steak for me. And we talked. But he couldn't stay because of his attitude. I never thought much about it. Now there's language learning. Language learning is one of the most humbling experiences you can have. Some people are really sharp, like this man. Boy, did he learn it fast. Other guys like myself are plotters. Sometimes you want to go home, crawl into the bed, suck your thumb, and stay there for a couple days. If you can't be embarrassed, you're going to have a hard time. Language learning. We have got to communicate in people's language. And communicating people's languages is to not only know the words, but how they think. And it's really hard at times to do. So the missionary needs to learn the language and, of course, another culture. Now, cultures are not something you inherit by birth. They are acquired habits as a child is growing. They become so natural that the child thinks as they get older that it might be the best culture in the world. Culture is the way people think, acquire learning, live, see the world, see family. See women, see children, see the world around them. It not only has to do with material things, but has to do with non-material things. Thinking, attitudes, values. It takes a long time for missionaries to uncover that at times. Sometimes the only way you find out is that some Colombian blunders. And when you look at this, you say, that may be part of his culture, but he's a Christian, and the Bible clearly speaks against that. Then you start dealing with him, and he attacks you. You Americans are wimps. They're not machos. You Americans come here and think, blah, blah. Say, no. this is biblical. Then they still attack you. We were in one meeting like that with a man who tried to seduce the maid Don and I had, an elder and a businessman. And he attacked us for not being macho. The only thing that got us out of that meeting was an Argentinian brother who lived in Bogota and was part of the assembly, and he went after the guy. Oh, hermano, he said. And he really ripped his face off. And Dick and I sat there. They weren't willing to listen to us. And the world's a strange place, you know. Travel is easy. Language awareness, we're all aware of language. We're learning Spanish, we're trying to learn other things. There's a lot of cross-cultural interplay that goes on, isn't there? And yet, cultures fight to keep their values. The Latinos in Los Angeles, dear brothers, like to speak Spanish at home, like to eat Mexican food, like to treat their wives the way they're treated back in the country, the old country and their children. And it takes a long time for some of them to learn, but we have to understand that. missionary must understand this thing. So missionary work assumes a confrontation with another culture, a confrontation with a different language. Thing about missionary work is one-sided. You go and you have to build the bridges. You're not interested in building bridges. What for? And you have to build a bridge to be able to give them the message. I'm not a very good bridge builder. Some of mine collapsed. Some were blowing up. Well, we got it done. So, it is basically one-sided. And even the Bible talks about cultural tension. The parable of Samaritan. Cultural tension there. Christ at the well, the woman said, why are you a Jew asking me a Samaritan? Cultural tension. And Paul said he's a debtor to all. Well, I must move on here. But the missionary is uninvited. And he or she has to build bridges. One more thing, please. Last one I'll give you is adaptability. I have a quote here. I don't know where it came from. My notes are filled with quotes, and sometimes they're right down where I got it from. But this one is this. The measure of one's intelligence is how one can adapt to new circumstances. I like that, so I wrote it down one time or the other. Adaptability. Missionary must fit into a number slot. Today's a day of specialization. Nothing wrong with it. But when you go, you have to be flexible. I talked to Sonia, Jerry, a lot about this. You may get out there and find they're going to ask you to do something you've never done, and they are. Boy, that couple is good. They're doing a good job. It's hard to specialize and stay in their position all the time. You see, we're directed to serve God and not necessarily excel in a specialty. What about the doctors who have to make bricks to build a building? It's only been lately that CMML has, through a friend of mine, Minneapolis Brian Kramer, set up a list of needs and a list of people in America who would volunteer to go and meet those needs. And it's saving missionaries a lot of time. But it's a new thing. Brian's only been doing it for about 3 or 4 years. So, adaptability. The Bible teacher who spends all day in the sun filling Bibles and giving out tracts in a man's car. These are things that are important. And of course, spirituality. Missionary needs close walk with the Lord. There are frustrations. Missionary needs close walk with the Lord and understanding so they don't crack up. And they do. The ability to study a language without giving up. Can we love others without trying to make them like us? This is the last, and I'm going to just simply say the most important thing, although I have 20 minutes more here. But don't worry, no Packer game today. All right. And it's this. The the spiritual development of the missionary is absolutely essential. This is really important. The missionary must learn how to feed themselves with the Word of God. Nobody, when I was alone, was feeding me. Read, pray, thank you. Fortunately, the Lord gave me a great partner, and he and I had a wonderful give and take for many years. Feed yourself with the Word of God. And when you do that, think. The uniqueness that missionaries are outsiders. As I said, they're uninvited. They have to make their own way. We went to Bucaramanga. We had to make our own way. Where do you begin? What do you do? Have to have the patience to keep working and hang with it. Openness and vulnerability. There were complaints about the five missionaries who were killed in Ecuador. In the first book, my textbook, when I taught New Tribe, the author has since revised it. She really slammed the brethren. She slammed them hard. She calls them brethren boys. She slammed them hard because they had no mission board over them telling them what to do. And if they had, they wouldn't have done it. Forgetting that Nate Saint belonged to Missionary Aviation Fellowship and Roger Udarian to South American Mission. And they didn't even tell the mission board you were going in. And this is very important. And they complained that these five men went and that they made the wrong decision. They were in a hurry. The brethren boys were behind getting them out there. And that these men were exceptionally talented. And they all were exceptionally talented. Well, think of what they could do in America if they were home. Any of you who think to be a missionary, Don't ask yourself that question, or you won't go. The question is, well, could I do much better from home? In correspondence with Elizabeth Elliot, she told me that, I am not exaggerating when I say thousands of lives have been changed, and hundreds of young people have gone out to the mission field because of the death of these men. Okay. I've asked our brother here, let me close on a song, and I hope you know the song. It's one of my favorites.